We are the generation. We are the common nation. Final voice the world will give. The coming of the Lord is near. Living out the revelation. Overcoming sin's temptation. Has gone to every tongue and nation.
Bless you, saints. While you're standing, just turn to Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Revelation 8, 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And we'll stop right there. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Who can tell me what the seventh seal is, other than silence? What'd Brother Graham say? Coming of the Lord. Amen. That's exactly right. Seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. And you remember when he preached the seventh seal, he waltzed all around it and didn't completely unveil it. We'll get into some of those quotes in a moment. And so I wanted to touch on the subject matter. And it's something we've gone into in the past, but I just feel like it's kind of one of those things we need to get it settled in our mind, because there seems to be thinking over here and over here. And so I want to kind of get it nailed down for us. So the first thing I did was I went through on my computer and I gathered all the quotes where Brother Branham talked about, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so are you. And then I find out, okay, what was he sent to forerun? So there's pages and pages and pages. I had no idea he said it so many times until I started pulling them all together. I've got 15 pages, but of course I won't read them all to you. But nevertheless, there's a tremendous amount there. But if he came to forerun the second coming, and the seventh seal is the second coming, then I think the two should tie together. So I'll just read some of those to you now. Starting way back in 1952, I'll just give you the year. And if anybody wants the actual quote, you can ask me later, and I can give you exactly where it is. I've got the whole paragraph printed out, but I'm not going to read it, the whole thing. 1952, August, as John the Baptist was sent to warn the people of the first coming of Christ, so is this message to warn the people of the second coming. 1954, as John the Baptist was sent for a forerunner of the first coming of Jesus Christ, your message will bring the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, what you're going to find is the term Jesus is only used about three or four times. And you're going to find that there's a reason why he leaves out the term Jesus. And now, that was May 54. This is July 54. your ministry will be as John the Baptist was sent forth as a forerunner for the first coming of Christ. Your ministry will be the bringing forth of the second coming of Christ. January 1955, as John the Baptist was sent for the forerunner of the first coming of Christ, you've got a message that will bring forth the forerunning of the second coming of Christ. Now, also January 55. And he's talking about being at a church, and he's telling about being in San Antonio, and a couple of people rose up and began speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues, and he's telling them what they said in tongues and interpretation of tongues as he walked to the platform. And he says, a fellow raised up and said, thus saith the Lord, the man that's walking to the platform is going forward with the ministry that was ordained of Almighty God. And as John the Baptist was sent as the forerunner of the first coming of Jesus Christ, so he packs a message that will cause the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham says, I like to have sunk into my shoes. So you notice they're taking a little rounded look at this. It's getting rounder. Who is this? Now, please preach in Clarksville, a little local church there not too far from Jeffersonville. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will show you things to come. He will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me, said Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes to do its work in the name of the Lord Jesus, all the way from the pulpit to the baptismal pool to the healing service to everywhere else in the name of Jesus Christ, watching for the coming of the Lord, preparing a church as a forerunner, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming. The Holy Spirit is in the church, forerunning, getting a church ready for the second coming. Well, of course, the Holy Spirit doesn't just float above us and tell us. He speaks through the body of Christ. So that's an easy one to just keep sorting it out. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you'll have a message that'll forerun the second coming of Christ. So from here on out, now I'll speed up a little bit and I'll leave out the as John the Baptist part, because almost all of them say that. The message that is given you will be forerunning the second coming of Christ. Your ministry will warn them of the second coming of Christ. So your message will be forerunning a second coming. You're sent with a message that will forerun the second coming. And he says, now the message, and he emphasizes that. I'm skipping a few because they're all saying the same thing. Up into 1961. Let's sing that good old baptismal song, the one that we were singing the first time that the angel of the Lord there ever appeared before men in his presence. I'd seen it before myself, but for the first time he ever came down. And when he came down, he says, as John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message will forerun the second. And he goes on to describe it. Spoken Word is the Original Seed, 1962. If you're not familiar with that title, that's one of those mighty, powerful sermons. It's one of the outstanding ones. My mission, I believe, to the earth is what? Is to forerun the coming Word. See? The coming Word, which is Christ. And Christ in Him has the millennium and has everything right there because He is the Word. Now, the reason I wanted to really emphasize that one, because that's the whole thrust. He did not come to forerun Jesus of Nazareth coming back to earth again. That was not his ministry. He came to forerun Christ. And Christ, you remember when we studied the Godhead, that's the Logos, that's the Word. I'm just trying to skip down a little bit here because so many of them say the same thing. In 1963, he words it different, and he says, as John the Baptist was sent forth before 5,000 people or more, the hour has come when your message will stray the world. In standing in the gap, brother, that's the one where Brother Branham was thinking, I ought to go live in the mountains and get thus saith the Lord and stomp out and say, thus saith the Lord, deliver my message and go back into the mountains again. He said, a prophet shouldn't hold two offices. And he says, here I am trying to do the work of an evangelist and be a prophet. He says, it doesn't work. That was his opinion. And then later he admitted, he said, what I really wanted, I wanted to be in the mountains and hunt and fish. But anyway, then he says, God spoke to him and says, return, did not I tell you in the beginning to do the work of an evangelist? When I called you down on the river, did not I say, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, wasn't John more than a prophet? Jesus said so himself. What did you go out to see? More than a prophet. And of course, he was more than a prophet. And Brother Branham, God explained to him later, he says, the Old Testament prophets were just prophets, but you're more gifted than that. So he did have to hold more than one office. Many of the ministers I've found, they find the first quote where Brother Branham saying, you can't hold more than one office, but they don't find the correction where he says, no, you're more gifted than that. So some people can hold more than one office. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is this message to forerun the second. Like I said, I got 15 pages of these quotes, so I'm just not trying to repeat too much. In the trial in 1964, Brother Branham says that God spoke to him and says, if you'll be more sincere, that he told me it would come to pass that I would know even the secret that was in their heart. Did I tell you that? How many remembers that? Did it happen? It never happened the next day. It was years later, but it happened. And he spoke down on the river, he said, as John the Baptist was sent forth to proclaim the coming of Christ. At the end of his ministry, Jesus came. And as John was sent, so will your ministry forerun the second coming. He emphasizes that more than once, that at the end of John's ministry, Christ came. And then he ties it to his own. At the end of his ministry, Christ comes. This one is Masterpiece, 1964. And he, the greatest of all them, was John. The Bible said so. Jesus said it. There's not a man ever born of a woman as great as John the Baptist, for he was the one that could introduce the word. Then come, finally, the great head, the head of it all. The rest of the body just spoke of it. So you catch now, he came to introduce the word, but the word was in the form of Jesus of Nazareth. But if a second forerunner comes to introduce the word, what form will it come in? So that's where people get so confused and say, well, Brother Branham said that Jesus would come at the end of his ministry. He didn't say that. He said he came to forerun the coming word. Proving his word, 1964, as John the Baptist was sent to get a people ready for the word to be made manifest, so will your message. Title, This Day This Scripture is Fulfilled, 1965. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message shall forerun his second coming into all the world. This day this scripture is fulfilled. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, when Brother Branham said, this day this scripture is fulfilled, did Jesus of Nazareth appear? No. But we saw the revealing of the Son of Man. We saw the Word living out in flesh. So exactly what he prophesied would come, did come. We saw the Word displayed just as mightily and in some areas more mightily than what we know in the record of Jesus Christ. He goes into a long one on trying to do God a service without it being his will. And he talks about David bringing the ark back to his house. And he says that when he began to spread the word around that God had told him he would forerun the second coming of Christ, he says not one of those denominations could put up with that. So they all had to get their own ark. He says, why? He says, that's what David was doing, trying to bring it to his own house. And he says, every denomination tries to bring it to their house. He says, but it won't work because it's not God's way. And you can read that in Trying to Do God a Service, July 1965, starting at paragraph 155. He really explains it beautifully. And here's the last part of that section that I've got a full page up, a page and a half out of that. And it says, those mysteries will be revealed in the last days, when the seventh angel's message, when he starts out doing this, but when he begins to sound his message, not in the years of preparation, but when he begins to sound, these mysteries then will be revealed. And here they are, not knowing them, and you people are a witness of that, and then in that great observatory, so the world will be in doubt. They're still wondering what happened. Of course, he's referring to the cloud. This is also trying to do God a service, but this one's in Shreveport. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord Jesus, you're sent to forerun the second. See, it's shaping up now into the wheat part. God, we thank you for everything that you've done. You notice how it keeps taking it away from the return of Jesus of Nazareth. Always, always. It's not going that direction at all. This is out of the Church Age book, Laodicean Church Age, page 339. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he should begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. There it is. He is sending a vindicated prophet. He is sending a prophet after almost 2,000 years. He is sending someone who is so far from organization, education, and the world of religion that as John the Baptist and Elijah of old, he will hear only from God, and he will have thus saith the Lord and speak for God. He will be God's mouthpiece. And he, as it is declared in Malachi 4:6, will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. He will bring back the elect of the last day, and they will hear a vindicated prophet give the exact truth as it was in Paul. He will restore the truth as they had it, and those elect with him in that day will be the ones who truly manifest the Lord and be his body and be his voice and perform his works. Hallelujah. Then on page 363. But it is a fact that the prophet for the last age must be bringing forth a message from God that will forerun the second coming of the Lord. For by this message will the hearts of the children be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers, and the restoration of the word and with the restoration of the word will come the restoration of power. And then I'm going to read this one. It's out of date sequence. This is 1962. Spoken word is the original seed. And I'm reading it to you because it's written different in the Church Age book when they quote this, and you'll miss it if you just only get it out of the Church Age book. Spoken word is the original seed. This is the part where Brother Branham was told by the Lord, pick up your pen and write. And so he says, I don't believe this is me at all. He says, I was just writing. God took my hand. As the end time prophecies will repeat, I believe as the first forerunner came from the wilderness and cried, behold the Lamb of God, the second forerunner will probably do the same by pointing the people to a word-born bride. The bride of Christ will be pointed to the skies at the appearing of Jesus, screaming, behold the Lamb of God will come forth from his lips. God help us to be ready for this near event. So we see there that the forerunner was to the word, forerunning the word-born bride. So we see what form was Christ to come in the last age, in the form of the bride. And then, now in the Church Age book, you'll miss it completely the way it's worded there. I'll just read it to you out of there. But this prophet will come, and as the forerunner to the first coming cried, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, even so will he no doubt cry out, behold the Lamb of God coming in glory. He will do this, for even as John was the messenger of truth to the elect, so is this one the last messenger to the elect and word-born bride. And you miss it completely. So now we see what he was forerunning. He was forerunning the coming word, not Jesus of Nazareth. So the word was to come in another form, but it was the word. And so therefore, it's fulfilled. So therefore, when we look at Revelations 8:1, and Brother Ram says, that's the coming of the Lord, then the coming of the Lord is in a sense twofold, in that the coming of the Lord to earth is the word to come and manifest in a bride. Then the bride will meet him in the air. So consequently, the climax of the coming is our meeting in the air. That's what we're looking forward to. But first, we got to realize there's to be a manifestation of his life through the bride. What all is to happen, we don't know. All we know is, he said, we'll see the third pole made manifest in its fullness during the time of the squeeze. How will that be? I don't know. Let God interpret that by bringing it to pass. Otherwise, we're only speculating, and that's a very uncertain trumpet sound. Now, I want you to see how this is obscured, and I want to inform you why the coming of the Lord is obscured. The seventh seal, the seven thunders, and the third pole are all tied together. And Brother Branham was instructed by the angel about the third pull, you are not to explain this. And so when he's going through the seals book, he'll say things like, I better not go any further. I feel checked. I'll stop right here. And so he's very hesitant. But you find as he gets on up into 1965 that the people who don't have ears to hear don't catch what he's saying anyway, even if he says it. So consequently, he gets very bold in his statements going on into 1965, just very direct. And the very things that when he was preaching the seals, he walks tenderly around and doesn't unveil, but yet he says it, but he doesn't say it. But you have to be alert to it. That's why within the framework of the message, there's such a thrust among the ministry, the seventh seal's not opened. Now, we're not the only church that says it's opened, but a lot of churches say it's not opened. Because they're holding to the things just that were said in the seals book. And yet, once you understand from the quotes after the seals book that he's telling you the seventh seal is open, then you can go back and see how he's just camouflaging it a little bit in the seals book. In the first seal, Brother Branham says, but now the Lamb is showing John in a symbol of a church, scripture-like here, for the church, you know, what to write. He just shows him. He says, now don't tell this just what it is. Don't go down there, John, and say, now, this is just what this is. Now, what's under the seventh seal, don't go down and tell it. See, don't tell John. Then all down through the ages, the whole plan would be broken. It's a secret. He's coming. Nobody knows when I'm coming. I'm just coming, Jesus says. Questions and answers on the seals. When they ask him three questions, he's referring to Matthew. When will these things be? What will be the sign of thy coming? And what's the end of the world? And he came right down and we pulled them, everyone under, but one. What was it? The seventh seal. Why? It's not known. That's it. And of course, he's referring again to the coming. What will be the sign of thy coming? Into the seventh seal. He says, the seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery. It'll be right around the coming of Christ because Christ said no one knew when he would return. Of course, for all of us old timers who back in the early days before the computer and we were studying about the seven thunders, and then Brother Joe Coleman came out and shouted out in the early 60s, the seven thunders have sounded, it drove everybody back into the books. Because nobody was sure whether they'd sounded or not. Because the way Brother Branham said it in the seals book, it looked like they hadn't sounded. But by the time the church age book come out, he says, this alone is the ministry of the messenger of Malachi 4 to reveal those seven thunders, which are the mysteries under the seals. Amen. And it's that simple. What was it? What was the primary thing under each seal? That God voice was spoken to each church age. So God had a voice on earth in each age, and each age was accountable to that voice as if it was Jesus Christ himself. Because that voice was one of the seven church age messengers, and they were responsible to that because he was anointed with one of the seven spirits of God. So that was the unveiling, because he was, what was it? It was the plan of redemption that was hidden. Now, why would God hide that? He said it will mess up the plan. Why? Because once Satan knows, he counterfeits it. But Satan didn't recognize what was happening. He kept trying to obscure the issue of Jesus of Nazareth, but what the people were being tested on was, here was Christ in a messenger form, and whether they received that was the issue, not Jesus of Nazareth at all. Although we believe in everything, we have to have the work of Calvary. That's why the one I quote so often, the Revelations, 1 John 1:7, got to walk in the light as he is in the light. Got to see what God is doing when he's doing it. Then we have fellowship with God and we're connected with the blood of Jesus Christ. So the seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery, and it'll be right around the coming of Christ, because Christ said no one knew when he would come. Also under the seventh seal. You see, they hushed. Nothing taken place then. Angels don't know. Nobody knows when he's coming. there'll be seven voices of these thunders that will reveal the great revelation at that time. It won't be known till that time, but it will be revealed in that day, in the hour that it's supposed to be revealed in. A little bit further down, and we know that the seventh seal cannot be broke to the public until that time. You notice the three little words stuck in there, to the public. To the public. I remember I was talking, some of the Seventh Thunder brothers were, they used to razz people that they felt weren't catching the revelation, and they referred to him as Mr. Public. 576, paragraph 576, seventh seal. Now, there was some reason that God let his seven voices be thundered. We find that Christ, the Lamb, took the book in his hand. He opened the seventh seal, but you see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it. But right along with that, what he said, no one would know his coming. They also would not know about this seven thunder mystery. See, you see, it's tied together. Now, souls in prison. He hid the seventh seal from us. He wouldn't do it. That's when the angel said, day by day, telling it, then he wouldn't do it on that one and said, there's silence in heaven. No one knew it was the coming of the Lord. In What Shall I Do with Jesus Christ? Jesus called Christ. The book's already open. That's right. Just waiting for the seventh seal to be identified with Christ's coming. That wording is just the way it should be. It's not saying not waiting for his coming, but waiting for his coming to be identified. Feast of Trumpets. The seventh seal hasn't opened yet, you know. That's his coming. Seventh seal. Now we're into the age of the eagle, the revelation to be revealed, the whole thing. Now compare this with Revelation, the 10th chapter, verses 1 to 7. See, Revelation's 10 here, 10, 1 to 7. In the days of the sounding of the seventh angel was to finish up all the mystery of God. Now, it almost, one place he says, well, we didn't understand seven. Another place he says, but we got it all figured out. We got it all unveiled. Now, Shalom in 1964. In the days of the message of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. The seventh seal would be pulled back. Feast of Trumpets. There was three stages of it, as I said, the martyrs, the age of the martyr for it, and then the stage of the reformers, and now the calling out time. And when finished, the Laodicean age, according to Revelation 10, the mystery of all the Bible would be known to the bride. Is that right? Revelation 10. Listen close now. The bride is called out by the word, Christ himself calling out the bride, making plain Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Luke 17:30, revealing of the Son of Man, Malachi 4, Elijah. And all these scriptures that's promised, this is to take place between the sixth and seventh seal and the sixth and seventh trumpet. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8. Well, let's go back to chapter 6, first of all. Okay, let's think now between the sixth and seventh seal. Something's to happen between the sixth and seventh seal. So in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and I won't go into it, but we know that's the great tribulation. And when Brother Branham explained that, he was just rejoicing over the fact, he says, What looses that sixth seal? He said, prophets. The prophets loose it. You know, and he's talking about the prophets of Revelation chapter 11. So now the seventh seal we already read, that's Revelation 8:1. And so that's the silence in heaven. Now, in chapter 7, starting at verse 1, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. Brother Branham said that's war and strife. And that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. What's the seal of the living God? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And so when a prophet came along and unveiled this, he said this was World War I. And it was, and just above that is the sixth seal. And he says this was the sixth seal, but it opened prematurely. It wasn't time yet for all the things to happen that was supposed to happen regarding the Jews and going back to the homeland and everything. So he says the four winds, so they cried, don't stop, 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 don't do this until we've sealed the servants of our God. And then it goes on to give us the 144,000, which are the servants of God. And so we find out over in, I think it's about chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, that there's the servants of God, the 144,000, standing on the mountain with Jesus with the seal of the Father's name in their forehead. So they're sealed with the revelation of Jesus Christ as their Messiah. So the sixth seal cracks open prematurely here. So actually now we've got the sixth seal understanding. We see it, so the sixth seal cracked open prematurely, and God dealing now. And then the seventh seal coming of the Lord. And then in chapter 9 we find the sixth trumpet, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from sixth trumpet. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And if you remember over in chapter 7, verse 1, there was four angels holding on earth. So now they're going to be loosed. Saying to the sixth angel, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And then it goes on, the number of them was 200,000, and that was demon powers that were released and driving the Jews back to the homeland by the World War II persecution. So consequently, what happened in chapter 7, verse 1, it wasn't time, hold the four winds, but when under the sixth trumpet, it's time for it to be released. And between the sixth and seventh trumpet, there's to be something happen for us and the Jews. And so we don't find the seventh trumpet until we get over to chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded and so on. So there's our seventh trumpet. And between the seventh, sixth and seventh trumpet is Revelation 10 and the Elijah ministry that we're familiar with. And that's wrapping it up for the Gentiles. And then chapter 11, the first part, the two witnesses to the Jews, wrapping it up for the Jews, all between the sixth and seventh trumpet and the sixth and seventh seal. So we've got the whole thing all tied up there, winding it up right at the very tail end. And so now we've got the seventh seal is opened. And when Brother Branham in the seals book tied up the seventh seal, he said, it's time no more. But he said, it's time no more for this, then it's time no more for that. And when he first started talking about time no more and used that phrase before he was preaching the seals, it was like there was a big cutoff point, and that's it. It's finished. But we found out when he preached the seventh seal, it wasn't that at all. It was that everything that God created under time with which to deal with sin or the results of sin all comes to an end under the seventh seal. And so one day God isn't dealing with denominations anymore. That's already happened. That's the seventh seal, time no more for the systems of man. He says one day there'll be no more sick bodies. That's something else that comes to an end under the seventh seal. And then finally we get all the way over to the end of the millennium, and time itself is no more than that finishes the seventh seal. Okay, so now we've got ourselves up that far. Now, what I was trying to do now is show we're not waiting for the coming of the Lord. It's already in process. It's being poured into an end-time bride right now through the Word, the Word that's been released. As Brother Ram says, as you feed on the Word, you're forming the body you'll go to. I don't understand that, but I believe it. So consequently, we're feeding on the Word because it has an eternal benefit somehow. And so feeding on the Word, and of course the Holy Ghost only feeds on the Word. And God is trying to pour this fullness into an end time bride because the whole cycle of God is not finished until His life has been reproduced in her. That's the whole cycle, and that's what we're waiting on. And this is the age. So consequently, God is finishing it up. And it should put it, if you're a little bit lukewarm in your walk with God, just this fact that I'm going to mention to you should stir you up a little bit. The gospel light, just like the sunlight, started in the east, settles in the west. It's the light of Jesus Christ in the world started in Israel. And then Paul took it to Rome. Martin Luther picked it up in Germany. Wesley picked it up in England and brought it to the east coast of the United States. Pentecostal movement was on the west coast of the United States. So what did that finish then? That finished Laodicea, that finished the age of church. Now we're in a bride age, and what's happening consecutively with the bride age, we find the sun is moving to the east again. And so now this message is just sweeping across China and those nations over there, and it's sprinkling into the Islamic nations. Right now, right about now, Brother Tony Abma from Brother Biskel's church is coming home, and he's been kind of keeping me informed, and he was in Lebanon and Jordan and Egypt and Turkey. What are those? Islamic nations. Right. But where are they in relationship to where the sun rises? Right there. So we're almost ready for the dawning of a new day as the sun rises in Israel. So just watching the moving of the message should tell you, hey, when the day dawns for Israel, there won't be another Gentile saved. And you won't be able to progress. This is the age where we're going to grow in Christ. This is the age now when we get ready for a body change. This is the age when we prepare. There'll come a day when everything, you're fixed in your present condition, no changing. Now, once again, we know that, speaking of end time, we know that the book of Revelation is at the end of the Bible because it's an end time message. And I'm going to pull a little bit from what I taught this last Sunday for the adult class and then go into a little bit different. Please pardon me for holding you a while because I want to get this all in one package in one night. So the book of Revelation at the end of the book, we could call it, Brother Branham, I don't think used the term, but we could call it the bride's book because it's been sealed until this last time. And so, but what I want to do now is I want us to go through a little bit, and I want you to personalize the book of Revelation to yourself. Personalize it because it's been specially opened for you, the bride of Christ. So now, keeping things in mind, John types the end time bride. The angel that spoke to John, we find in Scripture, was a prophet. And so he was not William Branham, but he typed William Branham. So the prophet that brought the message to John, because John was transported forward into our era, our age, just about our age. He was actually a little bit further ahead of us than we are. But he was over in this era. So he had an angel speaking to him. We've had an angel speaking to us. Are you with me so far? And so therefore now John typing us, there's much that we can learn about this. Now, just open your Bible to where your pages are open to Revelation, let's say chapter 2 and chapter 3. How many in here have red letter Bibles? Okay, most of you. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, how much black print do you see? None. It's Jesus speaking to the church ages. Then chapter 4, after this, I looked and behold, now who's speaking? The angel. Who would that be in our age? Brother Branham. And then from here all the way to the last book, which is chapter 22, it's all black. The whole thing is unveiled by a prophet to those who have ears to hear, either the prophet to the Gentile bride or the prophets to the Jews. Are you with me so far? So therefore we find then that the prophets are all part of the body of Christ. So therefore when the church age finished, it's finalizing this body called the body of Christ. And the body of Christ becomes the focus from here on out. Not Jesus of Nazareth anymore. Though he works through her. Okay, Revelations 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So now there's our first Gramps, I want you to say now, and there he sent William Branham to me, because I'm John. Are you with me? So therefore, the messenger came that I could be blessed, that you could be blessed, that the bride could be blessed. So therefore now, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So now keep in mind, John represents the end time bride who bear record. John bears record and he's part of the bride. And so now remember in Revelation 10:11, it says we were to eat the book and says you must prophesy again. Why? Because it's being bearing record to us and now we're become part of that same body that is to bear record. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now the theologians, of course, get confused on that, and I absolutely would have too if we didn't have a thus saith the Lord on that. For the time is at hand. Well, it sounds like, well, then the time was back there. But now listen to what Brother Bram says about that statement in the seven church ages back in 1954. In other words, not the time is at hand then, but the time is at hand when they see this word being completed, like a complete revelation. When God started off, it's like an artist drawing a picture of something, and he begins to fill in the parts, and you see it begin to shape up. And as you begin at the first of the book of Revelation, you see Jesus Christ begin to come into the picture. And at the last of it, you see him complete, seated with his church, glorified. And all the days of sin and trouble and temptations are over, and Christ is seated with his church in the great heavens above. Now in the Revelation of Jesus Christ series in 1960, he touches on this same subject. He says, what is the time is at hand? The time that these things take place when this revelation of Jesus Christ is completed in each church age. Now the time is at hand. What? When the complete revelation of Jesus Christ has been made known to his churches. And as the ages go by, that's just revealed to them. So it's the age of the complete revelation because the book is to be the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of Jesus Christ probed at as it was through all the ages, but the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it was hidden mystery until this age. Now, Revelations 22:8, you might want to turn to that one because it proves exactly what Brother Branham has been telling us. Revelations 22:8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. He saith unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book worship God. Now we've got the angel is a prophet. Verse 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So when is the time really at hand? When the seals are taken off the book, that's when it's there. So in the verse above, we see the angel is the prophet, and it's the time of the unsealing of the book. Now, if you're not pretty familiar with your Bible, you probably won't be able to follow us, but I got to keep moving. In Revelations 1:10, John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Lord's day is the day when the wrath of God is poured out. It's the great tribulation. But remember, Malachi 4 promises us that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, that Elijah is going to come with a message of deliverance. God always sends grace before judgment. And so the message that was sent by Malachi 4 is grace for those that have ears to hear to escape the judgment and wrath that's coming upon the earth. Those who reject, they'll be left behind for the wrath. So John was carrying forward. He represents the last age, the bride of this last age, and to them God sends an angel. And we saw it above, the angel was a prophet, the ministry of Malachi 4. A brother in Arkansas, his name is James Lanes, he sent me two interesting things. I don't know whether he listens to our websites or what, but he sends me information every while, and it's always right along the line we're ministering here. But he has a different way of thinking than I do, and I've talked to him about it on the phone. Every minister does. Brother David will approach the scripture one way. I'll approach it another. Brother Bob will approach it another. Brother Jeff will approach it another. Brother Stephen Strew, if he's here, will approach it another. Each ministry, it's like guys on different sides of the mountain, and they're all describing the same mountain, but each seeing from their point of view. And so consequently now, he has a different point of view. So he pointed out a couple things to me, one of which I was aware of, but just had never brought it to the church. And the other one I hadn't seen before, and I'll share those with you. First point. This is really interesting. I brought it out to the adult class on Sunday. When John says, I saw, or the angel said to me, or he told me, we could be saying, William Branham showed me. William Branham said to me. Because John, representing the end time bride, when he uses those personal pronouns, I saw, he showed me, he said to me, we'll find that those very things are things that Brother Branham brought to us. But we also find things like, let's say, for instance, many of the trumpets. John does not use any personal pronouns. He just says an angel went forth, he did this, he did that, he did that. He didn't say he saw it. He didn't say the angel told him. He's just recording to us things that happened. And those are the very places that Brother Branham never explained to us. It's really interesting. I'd never seen that before in Scripture, and he pointed that out to me. The other thing that I had seen, we may have time to get to, we may not. So when John uses the personal pronouns, it always fits what Brother Branham has shown us in this day, and it either is for us or affects us, because this Scripture is so perfect on those things. Now let's look at a few examples. You may want to watch in your Bible there with me. We're going to start right at the beginning and take some examples going right on through Scripture. So now Revelations 1:1 begins to set the scene and the timing of all this stuff, so we'll skip that. Revelations 2 and 3, that's all read later. That's Jesus speaking to the churches, so we'll skip that. So let's go to Revelations chapter 4, because that's where we are time-wise anyway. So after this, Brother Bram says, after the seven church ages have been finished, after this, I looked, John looked. And behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So I there, of course, would be the angel showing thee, and John looked. So the I is the angel, Brother Branham's ministry, and his message, his ministry, is what's showing us what's going on here. And as you read through reading these things, if John says, I saw, or he told me, the angel told me, and you don't understand, it's in the message somewhere. You just haven't caught it yet. So you'll be able to kind of check your own knowledge by going through the book of Revelation and watch what John was told and John saw. And they say, well, do I understand that? If you don't, it's in the message. You'll find it. So I don't want to take the time to explain all these things, because that's not the concept. The concept is I want you to personalize the book of Revelation. So in the first two verses, I looked, I heard, and then verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And of course, the Church Age book emphasized to us that's the only way you'll understand the things of God. At first, get in the Spirit, and then let God read it, see it, show it to you. And then in verse 4, and I saw 24 elders sitting. So the 24 elders, Brother Branham has told us who they were, the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. But I've read several books on the book of Revelation, and they say we don't know from Scripture who these 24 are. But the prophet told us. Why? I saw it. You together? Yeah. Okay, chapter 5. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, explained to us. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who was worthy. And when you get into that one, and you get into the place in the breach between the church ages and the seals, and Brother Brand was playing this, and he's rehearsing that verse several times. And he says, oh, maybe I just feel this way. And he actually emphasizes it like it's his voice that's calling. Saw a strong angel, who was worthy. Verse 4, and I wept much. Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and four elders, And verse 11, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. So all these things are things that Brother Branham touched on or explained to us. The sixth, in Revelations chapter 6, we know about the seals, because that was the very purpose of the seven seals book, was that when the angels came to Brother Branham, it says, I saw, I heard, I saw, I heard, I saw, I heard. And that's us. We saw and we heard all through the ministry of William Branham, all down through all of those. And then in chapter 7, I saw four angels, I saw another angel. And so these things, they've been explained to us. I couldn't have explained it to you just a moment ago if he hadn't explained it to us. So consequently, it's I again. And there's some others that are here. Now, verse 8, and this being the seventh seal, and to me, having this concept opened it up just a little bit clearer to me also. Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of heaven, and I saw seven angels which stood before God. Yeah, well, I saw seven angels too. They left eternity, but they settled down over Sunset Mountain. But they were the same seven that stood before the throne of God.
Amen.
And so therefore I saw them too, because they're brilliant. So therefore I see the seventh seal tied in with verse 2, all because I saw. And so it isn't just read verse 1 and stop, half hour silence, that's it. No, I saw. And I'm John. Now we notice going down into the trumpets, verse 7, first trumpet, verse 8, second trumpet, verse 10, third trumpet, verse 12, fourth trumpet. And then in verse 13, I beheld and heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven. And that particular place, Brother Branham says, do you know the word there should be eagle? So all the other places, first, second, third, and first part of fourth trumpet, he didn't explain those, except that they compared to Israel come out of Egypt. But in verse 13, I beheld and heard an angel, and Brother Rand paused right there. He says, you know that word should be eagle? And he went right on. So therefore, I beheld. I was with John. And then in chapter 9, the fifth trumpet, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven, and Brother Branham says, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. So I saw, I know who it is that fell from heaven. But then he goes on and doesn't fully explain the rest of this, and there is no I saw or I heard. And so then all the way down then to chapter 9, verse 13, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four heavens of heaven, verse 16, and I heard the number, verse 17, and I saw the horses. Why? Brother Branham explained that to us. That was the demon powers driving, bringing Hitler and Mussolini to a persecution on the Jews to drive him back to the homeland. So we saw those. God took time through the prophet to show us the sixth trumpet so we could see in time where we are. Not that the trumpets applied to us, but look where we are in time. Look what's been fulfilled. Already six of God's trumpets are already fulfilled to the Jews. Chapter 10, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Yep, I did too. And then verse 4, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered. And verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and first lift his hand. I didn't hear him tell me, seal it up. In my age, I heard him say, unseal it, because I'm over in chapter 22. So consequently, I heard the same voice pertaining to the same scriptures, but he says, now is the time. Open those things up. Verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me. Anybody ever tell you, go eat the book? Yes, sir. That's the commission for the bride. We've got to eat the book. And then verse 9, and I went unto the angel, I hope you did too, and said, give me the book. And he ate it up. What is the message? The message, eat up the book. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. The revelation is sweet, but living it's kind of tough. And he said unto me, so William Branham told me, the angel told John, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues. Verse 11, And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of the court and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave without and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So therefore the outer court is available to the Gentiles, but they can't get into the presence of God. It's sealed off to them. And so therefore the Gentiles are locked out. And so we saw the measuring reed. The measuring reed is the word of God. Without the word, you can't get in there. But we notice now, going down through the witness of the two prophets, there is no I saw, because why? It doesn't apply to us. It doesn't apply to us. And then, so the whole principle, I could go right on through. There's a lot of them. And, in chapter 12, verse 10, I heard a voice from heaven saying, now is salvation come. And these things all have been explained to us. And so therefore, if John saw it, we should see it. Verse 13, I stood upon the sand of the sea. How many times have we, and saw, and how many times have we been taught that from the message? Verse 3, and I saw one of the heads that was wounded to death. We know who that was. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. We know who that is. All of that's been explained by the message because we saw it. So that's the principle that goes on and on and on. And in chapter 14, verse 6, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. And so then when Brother Branham goes through those three angels, he said, that's Luther, Wesley, and William Branham. The three angels, first, second, and third angel there. Because why? He says the last message to the last days gathers up the message of all those three. And we hear them rehearsed again, but in truth. So it's all been explained to us. And so on it goes all the way to the end of the book. So I wanted to share that with you because to me it was an interesting insight. And then the second point, I'll just get you pointed in a direction. Pardon me for keeping you so long. I just want to get you pointed in a direction. This was what we went through, or started through actually, on the adult class last Sunday. This was a concept I had seen, but I'd just never taken the time to enumerate it. This is the second point. The first point was where John says, I saw, I heard, we should have seen. The second point was how many times Brother Branham's end time ministry is mentioned in the book of Revelation in one form or another. If I saw seven angels, Brother Branham's anointing was one of those. Are we together so far? And so it says the seventh angel said, that was Brother Ram's ministry. And so this principle, so we were going through, I'll just touch on it again and kind of get you started. Let's go back to Revelations 1 again. Revelations 1:4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. So, grace applied from the seven spirits. Brother Branham was anointed with one of those. So that would be the first place we see him. In Brother Branham tells us now, in Revelation chapter 5, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, what is those seven spirits? Them seven messengers. See, the seven spirits, which are seven men, seven angels, which are the seven messages. So, 1:16. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And of course, verse 20 tells us the seven stars are the seven messengers. So already we've seen, just in verse 16, we've already seen a mention of these things that are already there. Now here's one you might not catch in Revelations 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. Of course, who's speaking? Christ. But what does he have in his right hand? The seven spirits. So how does he minister to us to take away fear? Through the seven spirits. Through the messenger of Christ to each age. So just as little ways we've already gone. We got two, three, or four already. And by the time we went through, let me see if I've got a whole bunch of them here. By the time we got through, I don't have a scriptural number. So therefore, I know I either doubled up or missed something, because I found 59 times in the book of Revelation where something refers to the end time anointing, the end time prophet, the end time messenger. 59 times. And so there's all those places then you can watch and see if you beheld, you heard him say, you saw, and see if you're tied in with those also. So all I'm trying to do is personalize the Bible to you, especially the book of Revelation, just a little bit more, because we are in the windup of the ages, and our faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And the only way we're going to hear the word is find out what a prophet said on it. As he says, don't try to bring Pentecost into this message. Don't try to bring manna from another day into this day. We're not even on manna, really. We're back to the old corn of the land. So consequently, what God is doing in our age, that is the revelation. And as soon as you start trying to match what the prophet said with what you think you already know from the past, you're going to start confusing yourself right away. The easiest way when somebody new comes to the message is lay down everything you think you know and don't pick it up until you know a prophet said it. Then the message will unveil itself, because the message will unveil the book from Genesis to Revelation. But the little spotty pieces of knowledge that that all the theologians have had, they can't trace it all the way through Scripture. It looks like truth here, but where else? But what Brother Branham said, you see the principle from Genesis to Revelation, these same truths coming all the way through, and that's the way it's vindicated. We know exactly what is and what is not, and what's thus saith the Lord, and what's opinion. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. I hope we got a little bit of progress in our understanding tonight. Musicians, if you don't mind coming forward. Hallelujah. While they're coming, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. And it's obvious we're pretty special to you for you to have sent a messenger to us to warn us before the great day of your wrath, to let us know what we have need of to prepare ourselves, to give us the ability to have ears to hear and thereby know you and hear from you. It's grace from beginning to end. And there's just no way we can thank you enough or praise you enough. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. How about this is the day? Can we? If you want to give me some words, I'll probably get lost on that one. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
child of the King, Amen. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Yes, His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I was wretched. Good to have a teacher. Yeah, really enjoyed that. I wish I could explain the word like that. Amen. I guess I better stick to song leading. Amen. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Just worship you.
Idea of personalizing the Word of God. It belongs, it's our book. That book, the book of Revelation, is the bride's book. We're going to put our name there. Amen. Let's just look to Him this evening. Father, we do want to thank you that our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. We see it. We know that you're speaking of us when you speak of your bride. May we go from this meeting tonight, Lord, with a renewed sense of belonging and knowing that you open the Word because you tell your secrets to your friends. And we're not slaves anymore, Lord. We're your friend. And that friendship, Lord, is growing. And one of these days, we're just going to take a walk. And we're just going to keep walking. Lord, we're long in our heart to have that personal identification with the Christ of glory. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God that transcends all evil in the earth and in our lives and gives us peace. Go with us as we travel over the roads tonight. Bring us back at the appointed time. Give us special grace to walk in the light as you are in the light. And then and only then can that blood of Jesus cleanse from all unrighteousness. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
dismissed to go if you like. I love you, Lord.
Done.